1. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 1. And what a tremendous chapter this is. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant, and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God. Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratin, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed, and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Amen. We'll end our reading at the end of the chapter. And we know the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word. Please turn again in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 3. Perhaps with this portion of scripture open before us, we could all bow our heads in prayer again and ask the Lord for his help. And as we come to pray, we want to pray for some folks that have been bereaved this week. The Jackson family. Mr. Keith Jackson died very suddenly this week. And Keith was a cousin of our brother Selwyn Daly. And he was also a brother of Alison Allen, who comes to our church here from time to time, and Grace Wedlock, who belongs to our church in Corrigari. And we want to pray for the family, especially Mrs. Jackson, Keith's mother, at this time, that the Lord will sustain them and give them help in their time of need. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the mercy of the Lord to us, that even in times of bereavement we can cast our burden upon Thee. We do pray for the Jackson family, Lord, at this time, that You would comfort them, that they might know that underneath and round about are the everlasting arms. We thank Thee, Lord, that we can cast our burden upon Thee. And Lord, we do pray that over these next number of days, over the funeral service, that You would give them grace, add grace to grace in this time of sadness that they're found in. We just commit them lovingly and tenderly into Your care. O God, come and bless us now as we consider the precious Word of God. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. In Joshua chapter 3 verse 1 it says, "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days." And then we read in verse 17 of the same chapter, it says, "And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan." The crossing of the river Jordan was one of the most significant events in the history of the nation of Israel. Not only did it mean leaving the wilderness behind them, but it also meant entering into the promised land. For 40 years, the children of Israel had wandered in the wilderness, knowing and believing that someday God would fulfill His promise and bring them into the land of Canaan. The crossing of the river Jordan saw the fulfillment of that wonderful promise that God had given His people many, many years before. Of course, the wilderness experience of the children of Israel was dominated by two great river crossings. At the beginning of their wilderness experience, there was the crossing of the Red Sea, at which time Moses led the nation. And then, of course, at the end of their wilderness experience, when they crossed over Jordan, when Joshua was their leader, the successor of Moses. At the crossing of Jordan, Joshua faced an enormous task. Certainly his faith was going to be tested and tried. Of course, when you read this portion of Scripture, he passed the test. Because regardless of the circumstances and the difficulties, Joshua obeyed the Lord, he trusted in God, and he led the children of Israel successfully across the River Jordan. Now, when you study this passage of Scripture, you notice that the crossing of Jordan by the nation of Israel took place shortly after the spies had returned from spying out Jericho. At that point, Joshua prepared the nation for the crossing of the River Jordan. And my, what a spectacle it must have been. Some 1 million people crossing Jordan, leaving the wilderness behind them and entering into the promised land. The land that God had promised them many years before. Very simply today, as we come to consider this wonderful and unique scene that we have recorded here in Joshua chapter 3 and also Joshua chapter 4, I want very simply to emphasize a number of things to you. Now, the message in the main is for God's people, those of us who are saved and born again of the Spirit of God. And I pray that the Lord will encourage your heart, because it is a word of encouragement. Of that, there is no doubt. Here we have a portion of Scripture that encourages the child of God. And it encourages us to go on with God. Maybe there's someone here today, and you're saved, and you love the Lord, and the devil has been giving you a hard time. Maybe you're not long saved, and you have felt the attack of hell. Maybe you're saved many years, and the devil has come afresh to attack you. Well, here we have in this portion of Scripture a wonderful word of encouragement for the child of God. And my, if there's a day and age when you and I need to be encouraged, it is certainly this day and age in which we live. And I pray that God's word will strengthen your faith today to go on with God in the midst of adversity. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, a great obstacle. The River Jordan was a great obstacle. A great obstacle. Look what it says there in verse 1 and 2 of chapter 3. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days, before Joshua and the children of Israel could enter into the promised land, into the land of Canaan, they had to get across the River Jordan. Now, we must never underestimate the great obstacle this was for Joshua and the nation of Israel. The River Jordan at this time had overflowed its banks. Take a look at the end of verse 15 there, and you'll read this little phrase. For Jordan overfloweth all its banks all the time of harvest. By the time the children of Israel reached the River Jordan, it was the harvest time. And the banks were overflowing. They were overflowing. The River Jordan at this time had overflowed its banks. Therefore, humanly speaking, it would have been impossible for anyone to cross Jordan under these circumstances. Now, it would have been difficult at any time, but certainly at the time of harvest, when the banks were overflowing, it was impossible for anyone to cross over the River Jordan. And of course, Joshua intended not only crossing Jordan himself, but he also intended bringing over 1 million people across the River Jordan with him. It is estimated that there were at least 1 million Israelites across Jordan on this occasion. Nothing less than a miracle, nothing less than divine intervention was needed in order for this to happen. I wonder, as you read verse 1 and 2 there, did you notice what Joshua did before he crossed over the Jordan? He marched the nation of Israel down to the banks of Jordan, and he let the people view this great obstacle for 3 days. Now just think about that. Look exactly what it says here. It says here that they removed from Shittim, came to Jordan, he and the children of Israel, and they lodged there. And verse 2 says that they were at the banks of Jordan for 3 days. Joshua moved Israel from Shittim in the plains of Moab and came to Jordan. And for 3 days the people watched the River Jordan with its overflowed banks raging like a torrent. That certainly would have tested their faith, would it not? Bad enough to have to cross this river. Bad enough to have to walk up to the banks and cross over. But before Joshua did anything, he let the children of Israel view this great obstacle for 3 days. For 3 days. Child of God, there are many great obstacles that you and I will have to face in the Christian life. Obstacles that, humanly speaking, are impossible to remove. And sometimes God will let the obstacle remain for a short time to let us get a real good look at our difficulties. I wonder, has God ever brought you to that place? Certainly he has brought me to that place on occasions. There are times in our Christian lives when the obstacles in front of us, when the mountain in front of us, it seems impossible. It seems that there's no way through. It seems that the obstacle is so great that it can't be removed. And to top it all, instead of God removing it there and then, he allows us to view it for a few days, or for a few weeks, or for a few years, before He removes it. Why does God do this? Well, I believe in order for us to greater appreciate God's work on our behalf, when the obstacle is removed, there's no doubt that God was going to remove this obstacle. But God wanted the children of Israel to see the great obstacle that was before them. Therefore, when God would eventually remove it, they would get a greater view of God. And they would see the Lord in all His power and all His glory. I wonder, is there someone here today and you're facing an obstacle? And only divine intervention will remove it. You're facing a difficulty. And there's nothing that you can do in order to remove this difficulty. And it's been there for a few days, for a few months, for a few years perhaps. And it doesn't seem to be any way through. Well, keep looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. God's testing your faith. And you know, there are times when God will test our faith. And He will put the obstacle in front of us. And He will let it stay there for a time in order that our faith might be tested. But the lesson is simple. Before we get home to heaven, before we reach our promised land, before we enter into our land of Canaan, we will have to face many great obstacles. Maybe, dear child of God, you have come to that place in your Christian life where there's a great obstacle before you, and you don't know which way to turn, and there does not seem to be any way through. My advice to you is to wait upon the Lord. Turn neither to the right hand or to the left hand. For in God's time, let me emphasize that, in God's time, the obstacle will be removed and the hindrance will be done away with. Because God was going to remove this obstacle that stood before the children of Israel. And He was going to remove it in the most remarkable way. Look what it says there in verse 5 of Joshua chapter 3. Look what Joshua said to them. And Joshua said unto the people, now they're standing at the river Jordan. The banks are overflowing. It's the harvest time. They're going to have to cross this river if they're going to get into the promised land. Look what Joshua says to them. He says, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Oh, child of God, tomorrow. Perhaps before this day is out. Perhaps before this week is over. Perhaps before this month has gone out into eternity. Perhaps before this year has gone. The Lord will do wonders among you. And that great obstacle that is before you, it will be removed by the mighty hand and by the mighty power of God. God was going to remove the hindrance by His mighty, mighty power. Listen to these wonderful words in Isaiah 45 and the verse 2. I will go before thee. This is the promise of the Lord. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. What a wonderful promise. God permits the obstacles to come so that He can demonstrate His power on our behalf, so that when He does demonstrate His power and remove the obstacle, that we think more highly of Him, for He is the God of glory and the God of heaven. You see, that's the second thing I want you to notice here. Friend, I want you to get this wonderful message. Don't just hear the voice of a man today, but allow the Word of God to penetrate your heart and penetrate your soul. And even if you don't need this Word for today, you might need this Word for tomorrow. You might need this Word in a day that has still to come. Maybe you're not facing a great obstacle. Maybe everything's going well and you're on the mountaintop and there's no problems. Well, someday you will enter into the valley And the obstacle will be there and the problem will be there. And you need to be able to remember. To remember this portion of Scripture and how God worked in a mighty way. You see, and not only do I want you to see the great obstacle here, the great obstacle, I want you to see the great God. The great God. The God that was leading Joshua and the Israelites was a great God, a mighty God. Indeed, he was the Almighty God. I want you to notice how Joshua described this great God. Did you notice that as we read down this chapter? Because in this chapter, Joshua describes the God of Israel. He describes the God of heaven. First of all, Joshua describes this great God as the living God. Look at verse 10. And Joshua said, "Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you." Now, there are many titles that are given to God in the Bible. Many wonderful titles indeed. They're all wonderful. But I wonder, did you ever notice this title before? What a wonderful title this is. Here Joshua describes the God of heaven as the living God. Unlike the gods of the Canaanites who were dead and only false idols, Jehovah was alive forevermore and he was among his people. Did you notice that little phrase? Joshua says, "The living God is among you." Isn't it wonderful to know that no matter what our circumstances may be, no matter what the obstacle is in front of us, that the living God is amongst us? Isn't that wonderful? Child of God, that's a tremendous thought. And that's a tremendous encouragement for everyone today that's passing through a time of difficulty. Whatever that obstacle is, the living God is among you. You know, the Lord has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. He has promised to be that friend that will stick closer than any brother. Therefore, he's not only the living God, but he is amongst us. But notice something else here. You'll notice that Joshua's great God was the Lord of all the earth. Did you notice that description? Look at verse 11. "Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth." Look at verse 13. "And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth." You see, Joshua's God was the true God, was the only God. Joshua's God was the creator of heaven and earth. Of course, when we read Genesis chapter 1, we find that out to be the truth. Because in the first chapters of the book of Genesis, we have a record of the creation of the world. And in six literal 24-hour days, God created this world, the universe, out of nothing. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And Joshua here was reminding the nation of Israel that this obstacle that was before them was no problem to God, because he was the living God. He was the God of all the earth. And the one that created the river Jordan, and the one that caused it to overflow its banks, would be no problem to him, because he was the Almighty. Child of God, do you ever look at your problems like that? Do you ever look at the obstacles before you with the right perspective of God and who he is? I don't care what your problem is today and what your difficulty is today and what your obstacle is today. Our God, who is the living God, our God who is the Lord of all the earth, our God who created this world in six literal 24-hour days, he's the one who can just speak the word and the obstacle will be removed. And Joshua was wanting the nation to turn to the Lord and to look to the Lord and put their faith in the Lord and depend upon the Lord. Child of God, that's what we must do. And I'll tell you, if we do that, then our lives upon this earth, they'll be less stressful. We'll not worry as much. You know, many of God's people today worrying about this and worrying about that and worrying about everything else. My friend, is God dead? Is the God that saved us, and the God that has redeemed us, is he dead? Is he not able to help us in time of need? Is he not able to work out our lives? Is he not able to do the impossible? He is. Our God's not dead. Because he's alive. And he's alive forever, forevermore. Listen to these wonderful words in Psalm 86 and the verse 10. It says, "For thou art great." Speaking of God, the psalmist says, "For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone." You see, friend, there's only one God. And that's the God that sits upon the throne of heaven. For all other gods are like the idols in Canaan. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have mouths, but they cannot talk. They have hands, but they cannot do. And they have feet, but they cannot walk. But Joshua's God was alive. Notice something else about this God. Joshua's great God was the living God, and Joshua's great God was the God of that had created the heavens and the earth. But Joshua's great God was a powerful God. My, it goes without saying that, doesn't it? Because he was going to divide the waters of the River Jordan for his people. He was going to remove this great obstacle that was hindering their progress into the promised land. Look again at verse 13. Of Joshua chapter 3. "And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap." That's what God was going to do for the children of Israel. Now, he hadn't done that yet. When Joshua spoke those words in verse 13, he hadn't done that yet. But that's what he was going to do. And that's what Joshua wanted the people to hear. Indeed, there was nothing that this great God could not do. My friend, is there anything that our God cannot do? He can do the impossible. There's a wonderful psalm, and I know that you're familiar with it. It's Psalm 46. But it's a psalm that you ought to read from time to time, because it describes the greatness of God. Let me just read it very quickly to you, at least some verses out of it. Psalm 46, verse 1. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling of thereof. Verse 6, "The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." And then let me read Isaiah 41 and verse 10 to you. Listen to these words. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee," God says. "Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Oh, this great God was a powerful God, because this obstacle he was going to remove just in a moment of time There's something else I want you to notice about this God that Joshua spoke of. Not only was he the living God and the Lord of all the heavens and the earth, the one that created the world, not only was he the mighty God, but he was Joshua's God. Personally, he was Joshua's God. Did you pick that up as you read down the portion of Scripture? Look at verse 7. And look what the Lord says to Joshua. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the midst, in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Joshua knew the God of glory. My friend, let me ask you a question today in this service. Do you know the God of glory? You can only know God through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one way whereby you and I can approach God and get to God. And that's through the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. If you said to me, today I know God, then you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. My friend, if you tell me today that you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, then you don't know God. You don't know God. For God can only be known through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God can only be reached through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I pray today that if you don't know this living God, this God of all the earth, this God of creation, this mighty God, this powerful God, if He's not your God, that you will come and meet Him today and He will be your Savior and He will save you for time and for eternity. Therefore, child of God, if you're saved today, go out of God's house rejoicing. Whatever your problems are, you say, preacher, you don't know my problems. Well, I may not know your problems, but then you don't know mine. You know, you don't know mine. And if you knew my problems, maybe you would think your problems were very small. We all have problems. We all have difficulties. We all have obstacles to face. But our God is greater than them all. Our God is mightier than them all. Now, there's one final thing, and I'm watching the clock here. A great obstacle. A great God. Notice, thirdly, a great miracle. From verses 14 to 17, we have the account of God dividing the River Jordan for Joshua and the children of Israel. The great miracle which took place was God, of course, dividing the waters of the River Jordan so that Joshua and the children of Israel could cross on dry ground. Not only is the miracle seen in the dividing of the Jordan. And friend, I never noticed this before. And I'd read this many, many times. And I don't know why I didn't notice it before. Because it's so plain to be seen. The miracle was not only seen in God dividing the River Jordan. Now that was a mighty miracle. But the miracle also can be seen in that God dried up the riverbed. Now just think about that. Take a look at what it says in verse 17. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over. Now look at what it says, underline it. On dry ground. Now, usually, it would have taken days or weeks to dry the waterbed. Now just think. Of all of a sudden, the river of Jordan would have been divided. Just think about that. To walk through the midst of that divided river, it would have been wet. It would have been soggy. You would have been sinking in the mire. It's not right. But God dried up the waterbed, which meant that the children of Israel walked across on dry ground. It was as hard as the tarmac on the road. It was completely dry, as if the sun had baked it for months. What a miracle. You see, when God does a miracle, He does it right. He just doesn't half do it. He just doesn't half do it. And here we can see the mighty miracle that God did for Joshua and the children of Israel. There wasn't one drop of water that touched their garments. Not one drop of water. Their feet. Your feet wasn't mucky in any way. My friend, you just go try to go out in the fields now. It's been dry for a couple of days now. You go down into the bog sometime and try and walk across it, you'd end up with two less wally boots and two very wet feet. I don't know how long it's going to take to dry the land round for manna. And the farmers know all about the wet ground. But immediately God rolled back this river. There was two mountains of river, one on the right hand and one on the left hand. The water bed was dry as a bone. Oh, what a mighty God was that the children of Israel didn't even get their feet wet when they crossed the Jordan. We learn two things here very quickly. God keeps His word. God promised them He would remove the obstacle before them, and He did. God always keeps His word, child of God. Oh, let me emphasize that truth again. Child of God, how many times have we to learn this lesson? God always keeps His word. And here we have another wonderful example of that in this portion of Scripture. God given you a promise. God spoken to you lately. Well, don't let go of God. Don't let go of His promise. Keep trusting in the Lord. But there's something else I must say. And I wonder, did you notice this? I'm sure you did. God kept His word. When Joshua and the Israelites followed God's instructions. The instructions were clear as you read this portion of Scripture. The priests and the Levites were to lead the way by carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And the people were to follow at a certain distance. Look at verse 3 and 4. And they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. So the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant were to lead the way. There had to be a space between the priests and the people. And the people were to follow at this certain distance. And when the priests were carrying the ark, when they reached the Jordan, when their feet hit the water, they were to stand still until all the people had passed safely over on dry ground. Verses 15 to 17. The ark of the Lord indicates the presence of the Lord. Thus the children of Israel had to follow the Lord and obey Him. And if they did, they would see the power of God demonstrated. They would see the miracle. Indeed, they would be part of the miracle. But they had to follow the Lord. They couldn't go before the Lord. They couldn't go before the ark. The ark symbolized the presence of God. Let me emphasize that. Very important. They couldn't go before the ark. And they had to go at a certain distance behind the ark. They had to follow the instructions of God. But if they did, they would see the miracle. If they did not, they would see no miracle. Or they would be part of no miracle. But thank God they did follow the instructions of God. And that took faith. They had to believe the word of God. Maybe there's someone here today and you're saved. You're a child of God. And there's things in your life and you don't understand them. You've been praying about something. Praying about a certain matter, but there's no answer there. Indeed, instead of your prayer being answered, there seems to be an obstacle in front of you. There seems to be more problems. Child of God, wait on the Lord. And whatever you do, don't try to go before him. Don't try to push the door open yourself. That would be fatal. That would be fatal. Wait on the Lord. Follow him. And if he opens the door, then you go through it. But if he doesn't open the door, don't you dare go through it. And don't try to push it open yourself. And the Lord will honor you and the Lord will bless you. They had to believe the word of God. They had to obey the word of God. You know, there's a text of scripture about Abraham, and what a tremendous text of scripture it is. When we read this text of scripture about Abraham over there in Hebrews, about the heroes of faith, we're all familiar with the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And listen to what it says in verse 8. It says this. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into the place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. God called Abraham to leave the Ur of the Chaldees, to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance. And he obeyed, and he went out. Now listen to this, not knowing whether he went. Not knowing whether he went. That's faith. That's faith. Joshua and the children of Israel, when they crossed the river Jordan, they were going to face many more obstacles. They were going to face the enemy of the country. They're going to have to fight many great battles. So just because this obstacle of the river Jordan was now removed, it didn't mean to say that it was going to be swift sailing. Smooth sailing for the rest of the journey. No, there's going to be more obstacles. But you see, when you follow God, it doesn't matter how many obstacles there are. They all fall down one by one. It's just when you go, you try to go before God. That's when the obstacles really become mighty problems. Because you see, you want them knocked down, but they're not being knocked down. Because you're two or three steps in front of God. Is there someone here today and you're two or three steps in front of God? You're going to have a lot of trouble. In your Christian life, you're going to have a lot of trouble. My friend, you've got to step back. And you've got to wait upon the Lord. And you've got to watch and see what he does. And he will do it. If you're a child of his, he will make the crooked way straight. He will make the mountain flow down like a plain. But you've got to follow his instructions. And you've got to follow his word. Oh, may God bless his truth to all of our hearts today. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy mercy to us. We thank thee, Lord, for this portion of scripture. And what an encouraging word it is. Oh, God, we thank thee, Lord, for this wonderful event in the Bible. That reminds us of how great our God is. Lord, there's nothing that you're not able to do. But, oh God, teach us patience. And teach us, Lord, to wait upon thee and to trust in thee. Oh God, if there's one truth we learn in this story, it's that Joshua had patience. He wasn't in a rush. When he reached Jordan, he wasn't in a rush to jump in and get over. He waited for 3 days until the Lord spoke to him. Until the Lord directed his path. And then when he got over Jordan, he waited upon the Lord until the Lord spoke again. Oh God, I pray, teach us how to wait upon thee. Bless your word to our hearts. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Hymn number 572 is our closing hymn. A wonderful Saviour is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Saviour to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock where rivers of pleasure I see. We're going to sing the first three verses only. First three verses only. And when we come to verse 3, the last verse that we're going to sing, if you're not staying for the Lord's table, then you're free to leave. 572. Amen. That's all.